Matthew chapter 6. How to see salvation. And we'll just deal with the whole subject of whether you can see salvation in somebody and deal with that. A lot of people talk about this. A lot of people who come from a church of ours that is so aggressive in the witnessing ask about this. And a lot of people have questions about whether they know if somebody's saved or not saved or all those things. And of course, God has answers. And Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way to destruction, and many there which go thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they even eat wolves. Ye shall know the fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so a good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit shall ye know them. All right, let's go ahead and pray. We'll talk about this. And Lord, thank you for your word, for how much insight it gives us into the truth of life and the truth of eternity. We ask now that you would help us, give us wisdom. We ask for it, Lord, to please be our guide and our teacher, and help us to discern truth, Lord, and see what your word says. And Lord, if I'm not thinking right, I'll change it and show me clearly that's the right way. And Lord, I pray that all of us just have the Spirit speaking to us, leading and guiding us into all truth. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I just got a few points out of this passage, some others we'll turn to, but just some obvious points here. Number one, wolves look like sheep on the outside. Wolves look like sheep on the outside. Verse 13. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Inwardly, they are ravening wolves. I remember one of the things to watch growing up was Bugs Bunny runs. And they used to have a wolf who would always try to get the sheep, and it had the big sheep that you couldn't see with it, and eventually catch the coyote, I guess it was. Coyote? It was coyote. And pick up the coyote and go. And that would be the end of the story. And, it's kind of a funny thing that we used to watch growing up, back when TV was good. But the truth is that's the way the devil works. Of course, it was going to try to wolves among the sheep to devour them. And those wolves look like sheep. One of the silliest things people think is the devil's going to come with a pitchfork and horns and all dressed in red with a ponytail, a pointy tail, and he's going to do that. The devil is way smarter than that. The Bible says he transformed himself into an angel of light. And if you don't have much discernment and a great deal of knowledge in the Word of God, you will be deceived. And you've really got to know your Bible well, and don't think your emotions and all. I can just tell by looking at somebody. The wolves look like sheep. They come in sheep's clothing, of course. And so, first, wolves look like sheep on the outside. And so just because they say Christian or use Jesus' name or look spiritual or have their hair cut or dressed right or carry the right kind of Bible, whatever, doesn't mean that they are a person you should listen to. Do they do that wolves do? And so wolves look like sheep. Number two, you can judge false prophets. You can judge or discern false prophets. 16, verse 15, be with false prophets which come unto you in sheep's clothing. Inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Verse 20, wherefore by their fruits shall ye know. Now the context of this specifically, although people this for all Christians, specifically this verse, if you want to bring it in context, not judging all Christians, but it's judging prophets. Okay? You can false prophets by their fruits. They come in looking like Christians. They come in saying the right things, looking like a Christian, look like they're preaching the truth, looking just like one of us. I want to say this, and I've always been a little careful about saying this, and I get off of it in my mind that we discern this. Most of the stuff you see on TV are false prophets. Okay? Most of those are false prophets. I'm talking, you turn on TV and the church channel, most of what you see are false prophets. You say, no, they sing praises and they read out of the Bible. Of course. What are you going to go, I'm going to get you Christians to follow me for reading the Satanic Bible? And I'm wearing my outfit. No. But you tell a false prophet by their fruit. The Bible says that. And a whole bunch of them are. Not all of them. Not every single one is. But I would say the majority are prophets. And you know what? A whole bunch of Christians. And here's the thing. You go in the Christian store. Nowadays, the advertised books you see everywhere. It used to be, when I was Christian, the people who saw their books in the Christian bookstore were solid doctrinal people. You saw Jay Verney, you saw Chuck Swindoll, you saw D. James Key, you saw people like that. Those people are all doctrinally sound. I mean, I agree with every little thing on them, but they're they believe they're born again Christians, word of God. Nowadays, it's a whole bunch of people who are out there. They're gospel preachers, and a whole bunch of these guys are teaching false doctrine. They don't clear doctrine. They don't teach salvation. They teach a whole bunch of things. And by the way, we're going to read some verses that show things about them, and you're going to say, but that's so-and-so, and they're not a false. If the shoe fits, then they are. You say, listen to them. They stir me. Doesn't matter. If they're a false, you don't listen to them. You know it by their fruit. What is their fruit? Well, it says a corrupt tree bringing forth bad fruit. Every good bringing forth good fruit. You first of all, look at their fruit. Do they have the fruit of this love, joy, peace? Thing will happen in Open Door. It's rarely happened in our church. It happens in every church. The devil will send in wolves among church to destroy our church. That will happen. Jesus said that will happen. Every church will have bad people come in and try to destroy the church. They come in and say, I don't like Jesus. Don't do that. They'll come in and talk just like us and look like this, and you'll get attached to them. And then they'll begin to see a few things. One, they will not have for the right. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Then we have a person who doesn't really love people. They like to act love, and they might even act mushy and say the right things, but they have a bitterness towards people, and they like to criticize. They don't have love. They don't have joy, peace. And they'll like that. They don't have the fruit of the Spirit, but they have bad fruit. There's the flesh, which are manifest, or these. The Bible lists, and they're all variants and all kinds of evil things. The works of flesh, and you know what they are. Number two, is how we can tell a false prophet, and by their fruits, the Bible says to do that, and is greed. 1 Timothy. Let me take it back. 1 Timothy. Greed. You know a false prophet because they talk about greed and money. They act like that being spiritual has to do with you becoming rich. Pastor. That is so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. They all are saying that if you serve God, God's going to bless you and pray you and make you inherit all the things of the kingdom, and you're going to have great wealth and prosperity. That's right. But you are so-and-so a false prophet. I don't need to. If the Bible says they say godly is gain, they are a false prophet. Are you talking about the guy whose last name sounds like a female chick? Yep. Guy whose last name is Dollar? Talking about all those guys who say that God's make you rich and healthy and wealthy? You're talking about, yeah. God's not there to make you rich. If God's there to make you rich, Jesus wasn't right with God. He didn't have a place to lay down his head. He said, poorer than a fox. A fox hole to dwell in. I don't have a hole to dwell in. And I'm sick and tired of people saying, oh, so-and-so, I love him. He's good. He moves me so much. Your life is terrible and we're ungodly. And you say they're moving you. Yes, they're moving you. Do not discern. Do not mix up actions with the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that during church. There's a mile of difference that during the next service between emotions and church. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. If a man teach otherwise, and get us, this is 1 Timothy 6, 3, not the words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, doctrine which is according to godliness, proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions, strifes of word. These are all things of false prophets. Whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is God. First of all, I like to debate about every little doctrine. Instead of talking about something that'll edify, hey, how do we love us more, and how do we love each other more, how do you have a better family? They're going to talk about, let's debate our Calvinism, let's debate our little doctrine, argue about this and that. And that says they are people who like to dispute, argue about everything. And then it says, suppose that gain is goodness. From such withdraw thyself. So hear a prophet, and they say, God's going to bless you, prosper you, and make you rich. God's going to give you them. God's going to give you a bunch of money. God's going to plant your seed. God's going to give you all kinds of health and health. Then you say, I'm withdrawn from them. Click. Prophet. God does not gain. If that were true, a Christian for the first 5 centuries was not God. They were all being killed and hunted by the empire, and were very poor. They were living in catacombs in the graveyards under the sea and being fed to lions. Anybody who says godliness, if you're right with God, is going to make you rich and wealthy, is a prophet. Is a prophet. You can be poor and a wonderful Christian. Listen, I met a whole bunch of wonderful Christians in the third world, and they're going to be wealthy. But they were happy and serving better Christians than I am. talk about greed. Six, but godliness is contentment is great gain. Verse 9, but it will be rich will fall in temptation and error, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in perdition. And then verse 10, for the love of money is all evil, which some, while some coveted after, they erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrow. They are and by the way, any ministry, I would not go to ministry and make that my church to money all the time. I wouldn't do that. Money is part of the Bible, and there's a time to talk about it when the Bible taught it. But if it's every Sunday and it's always talking money, 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 it's just too much. You don't want your mind on money. Love money is the root of all evil. It's very dangerous. Number next is the flesh come out. It's of the flesh come out. Verse 5, we read that. He's proud, knowing nothing about questions and strifes about words. Proud is interesting. Are they humble? Or are they just proud and arrogant and want to tell you they know everything? That's proud. That's bad fruit and all things there. Destitute of the disputing men of corrupt minds, or minds are, and all those things. Next, false prophet, just giving you a few of their fruits, they cannot deliver you. Go to near the Bible, the book of Jude. Do I want to dwell on this one? Jude talks all about false prophets. It's one chapter, but the whole Jude is about false prophets. Jude, verse 4, it says, for there are certain men crept in unawares. Remember, they crept to the church. Who were before ordained under this condition, ungodly men, tursing the grace of God into lasciviousness, and the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Crept in, verse 8. Likewise, also these filth dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignitaries. I'm going to do all that because I've taught you a different lesson on that, but they are authority. Yet Michael, the archangel, when he contending with the devil, disputed the body of Moses, first not bring against him a railing accusation, but saith, the Lord rebuke thee. By the way, I tell you how the wrong people will do this because they're acting spiritual. They will do it with one of two ways. They start it off one of two ways. You like to say, with their slithering voice, they say one of two ways. We just need to pray for so-and-so. Because I just think they really have an issue with this and this and this, and then they don't want to pray. They're not going to pray with you about them. They're going to criticize them. When somebody says, we need to pray for so, they're really struggling with this. Oh, pray. Lord, I pray you'd help. That's what you should do. And by the way, if they won't quit back, Bible says an angry countenance driveth away a biting tongue. That's what the Bible says to do. You give them a dirty look. That's what you do to gossips. The Bible says you give them a dirty look. Listen to this. See, pastors give people dirty looks. Bible says do. An angry countenance driveth away a backbiting tongue. Or you say, you know what? I know they're struggling with that. Let's call them. Go try to help them. No. And there are people who like to talk and gossip. And our church, I hope that you stop gossip. There's a time when really somebody needs prayed for. And sometimes you need just somebody. And sometimes we need sometimes we can just say, Ron, they're struggling right now. We haven't seen them for a few weeks. They haven't been at church. We're praying for them. That's fine. Nothing like that. Depends on your motive. If you just want to criticize, then people do that. Another thing they will do will say, well, pastor's the good guy, but good. I think he's a good guy too. They like to despise authority and credit authority. Be very careful about lifting against God's anointed. What you do, you say, you know what? If you have a problem with pastor, you need to go talk to him. That's what the Bible comes to do. If I have a problem with any stream, the Bible commands me to do, go talk to them face. If you will come to me and say, pastor, I'm having a problem with someone, and I need you to give me advice of how to deal with this, that's different. If you just tell me how bad they are, we're not going to go there. Listen, I know most everybody in the church. You're not going to think badly of them. I don't think badly of people who are not doing well. I don't think of it better than anybody else, so I don't look down on anybody. But you know what? If you think you're going to make me think bad of them, I probably already know about it. Okay? So don't go. If you want to come for advice, though, you don't know how to deal with somebody, that's different. But if you just want to go somebody down, don't do that. And it says, verse 10, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally is breeze, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam. Reward again, false prophets going after money, and perish in a gainsaying glory. These spots in your feasts of charity, says a sad statement. Your church is a feast of charity, a meal of, y'all around each other just loving each other. That's the way church should be. They, when they feast with you, feed themselves without fear. Now, I want you to notice, clouds are they without water, carried winds. Trees, whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own wandering stars to his reserved blackness of darkness forever. They're not saved. One of the things I want you to realize in those verses, things with a lot of promise but don't deliver. Oh, I can spend a lot of time on this. I spend so much time on this. There are many people who go and promise you, boy, you do this, you're going to be wealthy. You do this, God's going to bless you. God's going to give you this happiness. God's going to make you have, God's going to make you, you're going to have this. Oh, you're going to get a deliverance. And they give you an emotional thing. They don't give you a doctrine out of the Bible. When I'm teaching about strongholds, I'm going to give you a turn out of the Bible of how to be delivered. Okay? I'm not going to say, you just come up here, we're just going to need deliverance. And you know what they do? Come up there, and they lay their hands on them and say, you're dirt. Same person who cannot say no to people, same stronghold of weakness, goes back home and says, delivered, I'm delivered, I'm delivered. Ooh, there's that Jack Daniels. And pretty soon, I meet those people because I'm knocking on doors. And they say, you know what, so-and-so being prophesied that I was going to have a great life and this, and I don't have it. I don't understand. I don't think God loves me more. I'm so confused because they said if I sent him seed, I'd be delivered. They gave me incredible doctrine, and they said, you know what, you're going to this, and you're going to be that. Not God's got this, and you. And they didn't have a Bible verse to show them a doctrinal thing. And you know, it feels really good when you say, oh, the Lord loves you, and woo, hallelujah, and raise your hands. And with raise your hands, nothing wrong with saying hallelujah, nothing with praying for somebody to be delivered, and nothing wrong with any of that, except a false prophet can't give you deliverance. Amen. We have more deliverance in this little church here from sin than the mega churches that run 5,000. Okay? They cannot deliver, but they keep coming because, but I'm just not doing it quite right. I will be like that preacher someday. I'm going to have all the gold necklaces and look like Mr. T. I'm going to have all that stuff someday, and I'm going to be rich. I'm not doing it right. And you know, I'm going to this church because I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm going to be my sin. I know my marriages keep falling apart, but he tells me I'm going to have a great marriage, and it never happens. See, you have to be flashy to see who does deliverance. You just have to know. And don't flashy, cute, pretty thing that has litter and has all the this and the promise. See the deliverance. There are clouds without rain. Look, it's cloud rain. Our crops are dry. Well, the cloud didn't rain. And look like they're going to tell you all the things. A false prophet promise you everything. And everything's going to be great. Everything's going to work out. But you find where there's deliverance. I don't care if the need so-and-so deliverance church. Is there deliverance? If you've got to have, can you walk up and say, I need delivered from my anger? Can you tell me how? And they say, well, you know what? You just need God for deliverance, and God will deliver you. And in the name of Jesus, you'll be delivered. Okay, I've tried that. Can you tell me how to be delivered? I just give you empty cliches and an answer and can't open the Bible and say, here's. Then you say, what? This person has a lot of promise, and boy, they're glittery and they're fancy, but you know what? They can't deliver. They're clouds without rain. They can't deliver you. Bothers me just to find people who are so depressed out there because they've been so many things by false prophets and not even believe God anymore because they had no answers. And by the way, that guy gets arrested for stealing money or for committing adultery or something else. The guy who's screaming to you that he can get delivered. It's false prophets. Number three, miracles are not an evidence of salvation. We're talking about salvation here. You can false prophet. Go back to Matthew 7. We said wolves look like sheep. You use false prophets. We're just showing you different things in salvation. Back where we started Matthew 7, miracles are not an evidence of salvation. See, so did a miracle, and they might have. By the way, Pharaoh's magicians did miracles. The occult can do miracles. The devil can do miracles. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21, not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that dealeth the will of my Father would heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many works? By the way, they're in the presence of Jesus. They're not going to lie there. And Jesus says, no, you didn't do any miracles. And by the way, the miracles in the name of Jesus. Have we not done miracles in thy name? Because somebody claimed Jesus does not mean they are not a false prophet. Okay, doesn't mean that. Because they can do miracles does not mean they're a true prophet. And Jesus says, then why profess them? I never knew you. Depart from you, work iniquity. These people were never saved. I never knew you. It didn't say, yeah, I knew you lost your salvation. It says, I never knew you. You went and did all the things, miracles, But miracles are not an end to salvation. Somebody can do miracles and be totally lost. You can win people to Christ and be lost. You know, many people who weren't saved but grew up and knew all the gospel and won people to Christ, saved themselves, were not saved. You were because you personally trust Jesus Christ as Savior. But miracles are God using you. You can be a great preacher and not be saved. All you do is say what God says, and God uses you because He wants people out there to be changed. Miracles are not an evidence of salvation. And somebody might say, well, I did miracles, so I know I'm in heaven. Doesn't mean anything. You might really have done miracles, but it's not an evidence of salvation. Next, the devil puts plants in the true harvest. It's going to be 13. The devil plants plants. And by the way, Pastor, why so much distinction? Why are you so harsh and saying there is false and there is right? Because we have a humongous struggle because we're trying to witness to people who don't think Christ is real because of so many false things the devil's put there. And as hard as anything, when so many people say, I don't believe in Christians. I knew so-and-so or my mom or my brother uncle said they're a Christian or my neighbor said they're Christians. This, we have got to separate ourselves from false Christianity. Got to say, hey, that's false doctrine. False Christianity. We're not like them. We're Bible-believing Christians. We got to do this. If we continue to look like the rest of Christians, the world is impressed in American Christians. They don't want to be like American Christians because a lot of them are hypocrites and weak and just like them. They want something real and powerful and natural and enough talk, something that's really lived and something that people really do it. We've got to separate real Christianity from again, lukewarm and the cults. Matthew 13, verse 20. Another parable put he forth unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares of wheat and went his way. No. Notice there, a field is planted with a good seed. What is the seed? We found the seed is the word. The field is planted, and the good is growing, and the enemy, the devil, the Bible, our enemy, our adversary, the devil, he goes and plants fake seed among the good seed. You know, if I wanted to make Christianity, I do not do it. If I were the devil, I'd put up people that didn't serve God in church. Cause problems in the church, and make Christians look like jokes. It's a great plan. I know it's prophesied that he would do that. When the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the weeds grew up, the wheat, and all of a sudden you have wheat, and you have in the middle of it, growing in the middle, all over is tares, is, and wheat and weeds all together. So the servants, verse 27, householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good in thy field? From whence hath then tares? And he said to them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said, Wilt thou then go and gather them up? And he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares also, ye root up also the wheat them. Now look at that there. And this is, I want you to this because it's kind of important because this is something that Christians do sometime. You want to start and pull all the tares out, all the weak ones out? He says, No, you might pull out wheat also. The roots might be hooked together and you might pull out the tare and the wheat comes out with it. So important because many Christians say, Pastor, you know what? I don't think so-and-so is a real Christian. You know, in our a church like ours that do see deliverance, and we don't see enough of it, and you've got to do a lot more, and we fail some. But we do see deliverance. You might look at some church and say, you know what, Pastor? You think they're a good Christian, but you know what? I drove by, I watched them going into a bar. Or you say, you know what? I saw so-and-so house, they were at a fighting house, and they were doing this, or that so-and-so out there, and they were smoking or drinking that. You say, they're a Christian. What you might not know is they might be still smoking their cigarettes, but they're smoking crack 2 months ago. And you don't know that. And you say, I'm going to pull out who's fake and I know who's real. And some people say, they're not showing any evidence of a Christian. Not a Christian. They're not a real Christian. We need to get them out of here. Be careful about that because you have wheat there. Or you might go pull out somebody here and say, you know, I'm going to yank this person out of church because they're not good enough. I don't think they're a real Christian. And you might, the person who they brought, rip them out of church too, who really is a Christian. You don't always know. And you might be damaged. You know what we do? Go out there and preach the devil out of everybody and let God sit all out. If it's bad enough that they're ruining the testimony of the church, the Bible tells me how to deal with that. There's church in 1 Corinthians, and we can deal with that. But you don't always know the wheat and the tare. It may do a lot of damage because you say, I don't think someone should be in church. Be very careful about who shouldn't be in church. Because a whole bunch of people who are really good Christians now, you wouldn't have thought should have been in church a couple years ago. And you know what? You know how bad I was in church when I first went to church? You know how inappropriately I acted? I remember Roman and I going, we don't have time. Bad things we did. I remember a pastor counseling to somebody. I walked by and punched him. He was so stunned. He came out where all the kids were respectful and everybody went to church. And here's me, the rough kid. I walked by him and he lost it. I punched him hard. He was stupid how to act in church. My brothers, when we like each other, we walk by, hey, how's it going, man? And that's where we say hi. That means I like you. Not anymore. People are too wimpy now. And the ladies don't like it as much. But he started chasing me around the church. He got mad at me. I remember Pastor Roman, and he had his girlfriend there at church. And he's standing there right in the middle of everything, making out with her. 15-year-old. Pastor, Roman, can I talk to you for a sec? And I bet you somebody said, look at him, cannot be saved. He's a pastor now. You know what? Sometimes people know how to act. Sometimes people aren't good Christians. Some have addictions, and they're fighting addictions, and they're pretty tough. Sometimes there's, you know what? So-and-so, man, they got a bad temper. Bad tempers disappear in one service, usually. God can do that. But you know what? Came into church the first time, and they're even cussing at their wife when they're walking into the building. Now they just do it in the car to get here. They made progress. Now they're doing great. But you know what? It's wrong. It's wicked. You shouldn't do that. I'm not defining that. But don't just rip out. God says, let me let it all grow, and at the end I'm going to lose it all, and I have a way, and we're not going to go into it, because I have a way of separating it all out. I'm going to separate it all out in the end. Not hurt the wheat for the tares. Let God sort it out. It's out in a couple ways. It's out on earth. Let me just take you to 1 John 2. 1 John 2 of the Bible. It sorts out on earth. Of course, God will separate in heaven as a second. God says, I'll separate it all out. I'll show you it separates out eventually. By the way, how about Peter? He denied Christ and cursed denying Christ. Did God out? No. He reached Pentecost 50 days later. Paul and Satan baptized. You cannot give up on people because, and by the way, God people have compassion. Ungodly people are very judgmental, and that's judgmental. Judgmental is not saying that's wrong. Listen, I'll tell you what you're doing is wrong. Okay, it's not judgmental. Bible makes make the judgment. You can tell people what's wrong. Wrong with that. Judgmental is, you know what? Get out of you. That's judgmental. And when you are like that, and you say, "I'm a person at church," unless they're ruining his name, and you have to kick them out through a process, and the Bible does that. It's not your gossip, as it says, but it's bringing them before the church and doing things which you've never had to do, and never asked to have people leave church before then. But it's that process. It's not your job to get out of here. I don't want you. God wants them. God wanted Peter, though Peter was very wicked. If someone's ruining the name of the Lord, do something about it, and we will. However, don't start ripping out a bunch of wheat and tares. Be careful about that. 1 John, Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist, church in the New Testament, verse 18. Show the last time. And as you have heard, that Christ shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. By we know it is the last time. Now, they went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. They went out that they may be made manifest. They were not all of us. One of the blessings we have at Open Door is God speaks to us. And it says here that the spirit of Antichrist started with us, went out from us. And that meant they were not one of us. Actually, if we preach the word and the spirit of God is here and do the right things, eventually those who are the spirit of Antichrist, false prophets and wicked people and tares, eventually they leave. Because but there's a lot of churches that make them feel a lot better and have a Starbucks in them and have all kinds of fun things. You know what? The Lord convicts them. Eventually they leave and say, I just don't like them. And you know what? We don't need to keep everybody. If someone with us and they got the spirit of Antichrist, hey, how many spirits of Antichrist do you want in church? It's not a good thing. So let God sorts all this stuff out. It's not always for us to do. There are ways, and we're not done yet. We're going to do this lesson next week. The Bible teaches us later to see real Christians and how we can know them. And so we can see salvation in some ways, and we'll continue next week. Let's pray. Father, thank your word. Thank you. We just got a little bit of the false prophets, a little bit of discerning the wheat and the tares. And Lord, there's a lot in your word about seeing salvation. Help us as we are learning the principles of salvation to understand how to deal with people and help people and how kind of church, Lord. We pray you give us wisdom. Help us to follow your word and help us to really have clouds with rain and have the ability to deliver people, because we know it's not by us, but by you and your spirit and your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.